All right, there we go. I always feel underqualified when I get in front of a group of ladies like this, because I'm just a wife and a mother just trying to do that, but just in a different country. So I'm just going to share with you what God's been teaching me in these last few years that we've been on the mission field. Just a brief testimony, since I've never been with you before. You guys, your church has supported us for several years now, but we never actually came to visit you. Your pastor invited us to be in the missions conference a few years ago, but we had a schedule conflict, so you just took us on anyways, and that was a real blessing to us. Helped us get to the field faster. But my name is Michelle Blance. My husband and I have been married for 9 years. We have 3 kids. Lila is 6, Ellie is 4, and Elijah is 7 months old. He was born in Nicaragua. He has dual citizenship, so that's really unique, and hopefully that will help us with our residency in the future. So that's a blessing. I was actually born in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, just down the road, into a Christian family. My parents worked on the Bill Rice Ranch. They met there, and a few years, they worked there for a few years after they were married before finding different work. But we actually moved, because of my dad's job, to Florida when I was 12. And although I had made a profession of faith as a very young child, I was 3 years old, they told me when I first asked Jesus to save me, I didn't remember it. And when we moved to Florida, I got into a brand new environment in a brand new church, and I started having a lot of doubts about my salvation. And so I told my mom, I said, I've just got to get this settled. And so one day after school, I knelt beside her bed with her, and she helped me to get assured of my salvation and to know for sure that I was going to heaven one day. And I was baptized shortly after that, and that's when I feel like I really started to grow in my faith. I was 16 when we were having missions conference, just like this, in our church, and I just felt heavy conviction. I knew that God wanted me to surrender to whatever he wanted me to do. I didn't know. I was only 16. I didn't know what that would be one day, but I just knew I needed to say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And so I did, and I feel like every step afterwards has just been another step where God said, okay, I need you to have a little more faith. I need you to have a little more faith and just take the next step and just a little more. And that's what I really feel like is resonates in my testimony. So I went to Bible college, you know, still not knowing where I'd be going or what I'd be doing with my life. And it wasn't until my senior year that I actually started dating my husband. That's when we knew each other, but we didn't really know each other. And it was a small college. But God brought us together. It was honestly one day God just said, hey, have you thought about that one over there? Oh, he's kind of cute. Okay. And we had one class together, and I noticed that he would run in to that class every time we had a test, and he would stand over the shoulder of whoever had study notes for the test that day. And it was a really easy class, so I didn't really need to make study notes. But when I noticed that that's what he was doing, I started making notes that I didn't need so that he would come and stand over my shoulder. And God kind of brought us together after that. I forgot something important. And when I was 18, before Bible college, God actually let me go on a mission trip to Nicaragua and see it. It was my first trip out of the country. It was my first time seeing anything like that. And so God really opened my eyes, and he used that. And I fell in love with the country, and I thought maybe I'd love to come back here someday. But, again, I had no idea. So I went to Bible college, met my husband. And we got married after college, and we still didn't know where God wanted us. So we said, okay, we're going to take a year and just be married, just know what it is to be married and just work in our local church. And so we served in the children's ministry for a year, and one day after our first anniversary, we were on a plane going on another trip to Nicaragua to see. Our church had an involvement at the time in the work down there, and so our pastor took us down to see it, to see if that's maybe where God wanted us. And we both were very burdened when we were down there. We both really loved the country, felt like God could use us there, but we didn't want to say, this is it, you know, hastily. So we said, we'll just take some time and pray about it separately. And after about a week, we just both said, absolutely, this is where God wants us. So we went to BIMI to be approved as missionaries, and they approved us, and we started deputation. We started slow because we were very new at this. We didn't know what we were doing, but we just had to get the hang of it, you know. And my husband decided, okay, I think it's time for us to go full-time deputation. I'm going to quit my job, and we're going to step out on faith, and we're going to do this. And so he puts in his 2 weeks' notice. And the very next day, I'm like, you know, I really feel like I need to take a pregnancy test. And sure enough, I was pregnant with our first daughter the day after my husband had quit his job, and we were really stepping out on faith. But God was faithful. We were able to leave the hospital with the bills paid. During our time on deputation, as we were traveling, we also had our second daughter, Ellie, and again, the bills were paid when we left, and God has been very faithful. Again, it was just him asking me to just take steps. Okay, just trust me, it's going to be fine. Well, one thing I know that I really struggled with on deputation was my children. When I surrendered to missions, I didn't have a husband or a family. It was just me. And then when we started, it was just me and my husband. But when God brought children into the picture, I started to have more fear. You know, Nicaragua is a very poor country. There's not a lot of access to good medical care, and it's a little bit on the rougher side. I mean, we're fine. We've had a good life there so far, but it's not, you know, all flowers and roses, and it's a little harder. And so I struggled. God, do I really, you know, are my children going to be okay? And he just kept telling me to surrender them to him, and that's going to play in later. But we finally completed deputation, and we went to language school, which is actually in Costa Rica. There's a really good school there that our mission board wanted us to attend. And so the first day we get there, we literally flew in, and then the next day we started language school. And I had to take my 2.5-year-old and my 6-month-old baby girl and hand them over to people who I couldn't speak to. They did not speak English, and I didn't speak Spanish yet. And so that was a challenge. But again, got us through it. God got us through it all. By the end of that year, my husband was able, he kind of gypped himself when he was shown the video. He spoke pretty good Spanish by the end of that year. He was able to preach. And so we left Costa Rica, and we drove to Nicaragua with all our things and our children. There's a picture in the video of a van that we just packed up with everything. And we were going into the country, and we had some contacts, but not very many. We were actually meeting. I was meeting for the first time the Nicaraguan man that we had been set up to work with, somebody that we were going to start our first church with. And, you know, we were just praying, okay, God, we don't really know this man, but we feel like this is where you want us. This is who you want us to work with. And so we met this man that we were going to be spending this time with and starting this, you know, putting all our faith together into this work. And he turned out to be a really wonderful partnership with him. It was his first church as well. He was a graduate from, there's a Bible Institute there, and he was a graduate. And so we started together, and we learned a lot. He was a single man when we started, and praise the Lord, he got a wife partway through, because I was on my own with those duties for a while, and I was a real blessing when she finally came in. I was determined, I'm going to love this woman no matter what. We're going to get along. It's going to be great. And it was. God was very faithful. And we had a lot of challenges, and there's a lot, you know, that I could share with you, but I want to share with you my life verse, which I had just clung to during, and I still cling to, Isaiah 26:3-4, if you want to open to it. And I'm going to open to it. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And so there would be these times of trials and questioning. We had a lot of struggles with our visa. We didn't know what was going to happen. From the time we applied for it until the time we actually got it was 8 months. And every month we would have to go back to the immigration office and say, okay, are you going to give it to us this month? And the day we finally got it, we sat in the office for 5 hours just waiting for them to say, okay, you can stay. And so that, you know, we never knew exactly what our fate would be. When the elections happened, it wasn't too crazy, but the Nicaraguan elections happened at the same time that the American elections happened, and so there was definitely some turmoil there. They started rejecting visas, and they even started saying, okay, we're not going to let certain groups come into the country, and so we weren't sure, but God has been faithful. He just, you know, telling us to stay focused on him, and he will give us that peace, and he has. But the biggest thing I think that happened to us in these last several years, and the testimony, the story I want to share with you, is something that happened to our middle child, our daughter Ellie. We had been in Nicaragua for about 6 months, I think, at the time, and she was almost 2 years old. And she had been sitting on our bed, and we had told her to move, and she was being a rebellious, you know, almost 2 year olds as they are. And she fell backwards off of the bed. And in Nicaragua, we have tile floor. And so when she fell, she hit the back of her head pretty hard. And my husband ran over there to, you know, to comfort her and make sure she was okay. But when he went to get her, she stopped breathing and she started convulsing. And we live about an hour from, there's one good hospital in Nicaragua, and we lived about an hour away, and we didn't know what to do. I literally took off down the road barefoot. It was a rock, you know, gravel road, running to get our neighbor, yelling for help, anybody that would come out and help us, because we didn't know who to, we should have known, and I did get these numbers afterwards, but we didn't know who to call, we didn't know where to go, we didn't know what to do. And when we had this emergency with her, and so we just started praying, God, you're going to have to take control of this situation, and we're going to do our best, but she's in your hands. And so we took her to, there was a small private hospital, and when I say private hospital, a friend of ours who had to go there for a different thing, he described it as a World War II hospital. It was very basic, and it was also in the middle of, it was in the later evening, so, you know, it was a low staff, and so we took her in there, and they kind of looked at her, and they put her on a table, and they didn't really do much with her, and they didn't really know what to do for her. And at this time, she was breathing just a little bit, but she was still unresponsive. You could talk to her, and she just, nothing was coming back. And she started throwing up, and just had all the signs of a head injury, a brain injury. And so we finally convinced them, just get us an ambulance and get us to the main hospital in the capital. And so they called for the ambulance, and they were going to send an ambulance in Nicaragua is basically a van with nothing in the back, so there's room to put someone back in there. And so that's what they called for us, and the roads are very rough. And they were going to send us by ourselves with her, and we said, no, you've got to send someone with us. So they sent a man who was a nurse to come along with us, and I thought I was going to throw up, and I was just desperate at that point. I thought we were going to lose our daughter tonight. And I just, I pray, God, she's yours, and, your will be done. And we called our pastor, and he just happened to be with a group of people from our church at that time, and they all started praying for our daughter. And long story short, we finally got through the mountains to the hospital, and she had fallen asleep, and we were, is this okay? And the guy with us said, sure, it's going to be fine, she's okay. And she never had come to, and we finally got to the good hospital, and my husband, the way they have it set up, you actually have to put a deposit in before they'll start taking care of, they did take her, but before they'll really start doing anything, you have to pay so that they know you're able to. And as he was off paying, my husband had been singing to her and praying this whole time, and all of a sudden she woke up. And she started singing all the songs that my husband had been singing to her, Jesus Loves Me and her ABCs and just anything that he could think to try to get her to come around. And she just, it was like a switch had flipped. She was suddenly there. And they took her to do an MRI and an X-ray to see what was wrong, and there was nothing wrong. They said, with this kind of injury that causes convulsion and lack of breathing, there should be something that we can see that has caused it. And, well, we knew. We knew what had happened. God had healed her. And it was just, it brought back to my mind, God said, do you trust me with your children? Do you trust me? And obviously, he's proved to me that I can trust him. And so when these little minor things come along, that seem like, well, what's going to happen with this or what's going to happen with that? Well, I've proved to you, you can trust me. And I just wanted to encourage you with that. The same God that is guiding us through those things in Nicaragua is here with you. And you can trust him with your next step and with the next thing that he's wanting you to do. So thank you. And God bless you. And if you have any questions, we'll be at our table later.
I think I should put it this over there so you can all see me. Hi, before I start, I want to give you two Bible verses. My favorite Bible verse is Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Psalms 129, 23 and 24. And Joshua, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to read all this, but Joshua 4, verses 6, 7, and 9. My testimony is going to be more based today in Joshua. And I already told the pastor that I'm going to show some struggles for you in the end of my testimony. Okay? My name is Nilza de Carvalho. I am a Brazilian, America, Cape Verde. Well, that's me. I born in Brazil. Praise the Lord today. I'm an American citizen. And I have Cape Verde green card. So I can be all over the world. And that's a blessing. I was born in a Christian family, but I was raised, because of my parents' separation, I was raised in a Christian orphanage. And there, when I was 9 years old, I accepted Jesus as my personal savior. I'm going to try to get a very short, I'm going to give you flashes of my testimony, okay? And when I was being a Christian orphanage, you know, you're going to learn from the Bible every day, and we was going to this normal church every Sunday. And when I was 12 years old, in a Sunday mission, a special mission Sunday, I gave myself to the Lord to be a missionary. And since I was in the South Baptist Church, I thought God's going to send me in the end of Brazil, like in the jungle of Amazonas, whatever, to be a single missionary. Then I started to pray, and I told the Lord, Lord, I live all my life alone, and I don't know still how to live alone, but if you want me in the jungle of Brazil, I will go, but please teach me to be alone. But if you give me a husband, give me somebody that really have the same call that I have to serve you. And I waited in the Lord, and God, when I finished my high school, the director of the orphanage took me to a nursing home, which was a seminary on another side of the street, which was in charge of the nursing home. So the director of the seminary allowed me to work all day in the nursing home so I can go to school. I was going to get my degree to be an elementary school teacher. So I worked for there for 1 year and a half. In the end of this 1 year and a half, I met my husband. And till today, we are married for 38 years. And my husband tells everybody that he's marrying me to take me out of the nursing home. But that's not true. We really married because we want to serve the Lord together. So after I finished my elementary school, got my elementary school degree, I went to a Bible Institute in Rio de Janeiro. I'm from Rio de Janeiro, so I went to a Bible Institute for 4 years, and I got myself prepared to go to the mission field. But we did took it a wrong way and answered God's call. My husband wrote to many churches in Brazil, and he was calling to be a pastor in Santa Catarina, a very cold state in Brazil. And we packed bags and went to Santa Catarina, where we served God there. But when we went over there, was after a flood in two cities. And we was over there, I was pregnant with my second child, and 7 months old, giving food and giving clothes and giving this and helping people in their visitation where people have lost everything, have lost loved ones. And after 1 year and a half, the church also was not be able to support us anymore because most of the people, they have good finances, decided to move to the capital. And my husband has, he has ulcer troubles. And one time, I end up took him to the hospital, and the doctor put him one side of the hospital and myself in another side of the hospital because I was like, if it, two little children and nobody to help us, family or anybody. And we decided it was time to go back to Rio de Janeiro where we came from. And right there, I say, I need to take time, God. I need to take care of myself. I need to take care of my two children. And my husband went to help another church that was in trouble. I stay with my family in the church where close by. And then he's got a call to come to the United States. He has three sisters over here at that time. And one day was giving us the green card. So he came. I said, well, you better go and check if this is going to be true. Because if two little children go to a country, a very hole, in America. So, and he came. He was over here for 11 months. And they processed a green card. 11 months later, I came for my two children. And all the process was well done. We got a green card. Later we got a citizenship. But we know we was not doing what God wanted us to do. In 21 years of marriage, never have our own home. And as soon as we got in, he said, let's get a home. I said, I don't want to get anything. We know we have a call to be a missionary, and I don't want to have anything in the States. They're going to hand us to do God's will. He said, that's fine. And we lived for 13 years in rental, moving, and because the price was going so high, we live in Virginia. So after we got a first home in Virginia, finally buy a home in 2002. Our kids, one is already finished college, the other one was getting college, and the other one was finishing high school. So we have a boy, a girl, and a boy. So we was at children's missions program. We was working for the children's choir. And when we heard a song, a mission song, we went to four, and we told the church, we want to go. We got to go now. By then, my husband was after his 50s, and I was 49 years old. And the call was when I was 12. But we never have a peace in our heart. We always seek to really do God's will. So we visited Angola because my husband felt God was calling to go to Angola. Angola is a country was just have the ceasefire in 2002 after so many years of war. So we went to visit Angola. We did a survey trip. In 1 month, my husband led 40 men to the Lord. And they was right there in the hotel studying the Bible for him. When we was ready to go back to the States, we look in the newspaper, it was there. No more new religions in Angola. We go to a pastor over there, he said, oh no, that's not going to include you because we are here. The South Baptist was there. So we went to deputation, talked to a pastor, our church decided to send us. We started deputation. A pastor told us, for Americans, take to four or five years. For you're going to take a lot of more. So we started deputation. My husband booked back-to-back traveling for us. We was like, now we are holidays, birthday, all the special days. He just preached on one Easter Sunday in one church. So our schedule was back-to-back, and we did a deputation in 22 months. And we went to the embassy, and five times the Angola embassy denied us the visa. My husband go back to Angola, try to get a visa over there, and they say no. The South Baptist pastor told him, if you come under umbrella, you gotta work the way we do. He said, no, I'm not South Baptist. I'm independent pastor, a missionary. So he came back home and talked to a pastor. We go Sunday to the church, and there was a Cape Verde young man. The pastor introduced to us. And this Cape Verde young man came to us and said, please go to Cape Verde, to go to San Vicente, go to Mindelo. My people don't know what the Bible means. My people don't know about sin. My people don't know about nothing. We look in the internet. My daughter said, Mom, it's so beautiful. I say, yeah, honey. It's an island. It's beautiful. But then we pray. We always told the Lord, whatever he send us, we will go. As a Brazilian, I always have this in my heart. I don't need to go to the country to know if God wanted me there. Because Brazil don't have funds to send missionaries everywhere. They think God They feel God wants them to be a missionary. They normally send you, go, you know. So, and we was like, in our hearts was like, whatever God wants send us, he will protect us, he will keep us, you know, he give us strength. So my husband came home and said, okay, that guy, the young man told me, tomorrow, if you want, tomorrow, I take you to the embassy. And my husband said, well, let's go. Maybe that's going to be the way God's going to show us if this is our will for our lives. I don't went to the embassy. I stay home. In 2 hours, they met with the counselor. The counselor looked at my husband and said, what you want to do? And Cape Verde said, I'm going to preach the gospel. And he said, 2 years is enough. 5 years is enough. So in 2 hours, you got a visa for 5 years. And we have to renew our visas. And last year, we was be able to get a green card. Because the green card over there is not like over here. Né? Over there, you got to renew your green card every year. So, that's fine. We have been capable for 12 years. We started two ministries, one church and one congregation, another island. We go every weekend. Friday, Saturday, we go ferryboat to another island. We do visitation. We do Mahasa do Bible study for the couples. And Saturday, we visit all day long. We was doing the service to tutorial. And we moving now for Sunday morning. So we stay there until Sunday morning, helping the man that took charge of the service right now. We help him do the morning service, we catch the boat back and go straight to the evening service, which is 5 o'clock in our island, which is San Vicente. God has done a lot of things in Cape Verde. Many of you saw a presentation. People is being saved. When people get saved in a church, we first thing we do is prepare them for the service, and we also those like in Cape Verde, 95% of the people are not married. So if you got saved, the next step is what? Get baptized and get married. And I took all my daughter got married in 2008. I took all the decoration from her wedding, and I'm there decorating church. If you don't have nothing for your wedding, we at least give you a cake. But we try to help. We have the 6 wedding at churches, and we are working with the young people about dating and getting married. But it's not easy. It's not easy because the life is very promiscuous. If you do not have a child, you are nothing. So young ladies going back and forth, having children over here, children over there. We raised 2 boys in Cape Verde. And it's 4 boys, but we raised 2 for the same mother. But each one of them have different fathers. It's a very sad life. People don't have no sense of family values. That turned the ministry very hard, because how are you going to have leaders in your church if they don't have family values? If they don't take care of the children? The men don't. You know, in Africa, many ladies work more than the men. So if the man don't support his family, how is going to be a leader in the church? So it's very hard. Sometimes it's very discouraged. Many times in the 4 years, we look at ourselves before God and say, God, what we are doing wrong? What we are doing wrong? We don't see the fruits. People get saved. They don't want to get baptized. They don't want to get involved in the church. They don't want to do nothing for you. We are there for 12 years in San Vicente, and we are the only missionaries in San Vicente. We are the only missionaries, the first missionaries, started a Bible independent church. But we have each other, and we have the Lord. That's why I gave you Joshua. If somebody want to read for me, I prefer somebody read for me because I know it. I'm not going to read very well. Does anybody like to read Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9? What time I have? Just not going to get in there. Like Michelle say, mission field, even though Cape Verde is beautiful islands, our island is a very touristic island, can be a very scary place, very dark, very lonely. Like in her play, in the country is, we are in the country. If something happens to us, serious about health, we do know what to do. The good hospital over there is not a good hospital. You know? But we trust in the Lord. We serve a good God. But also are moments in our lives, like any one of you, that you go to our own struggles. I'd like to share with you now that 2 years ago, after 12 years in the mission field, me and my husband lived the most difficult time in our lives. When I was ready to come to the States, I told my daughter, I told my husband, this time it's going to be very difficult for me to go back to the mission field. I don't know if I'm going to be ready. 2 years ago, April 15, going to be 3 years that I got a call in Cape Verde. Our oldest son went to the Marines, went to the war 3 times, got his mind messed up because he's not was now ready to kill innocent people. And after being in the war for 3 times, he went to Japan. He was away from God. He was messed with the wrong people. These wrong people took him to a place for celebrate his birthday, where he met unsaved lady, 10 years older than him, and with 2 children. She was a real, I cannot say the word. The person losing her husband. Okay, you know. So he fell in love with her and he married her. She was a Buddhist. She is a Buddhist. And my son had a few minutes in Cape Verde in the phone, the most terrible conversation a mother can hear for a son or for any child about his marriage. And I kept that with me for all those years. I cannot believe that young man that had been the front line for the war. And the end of the war, we realized he was responsible for a troop. He's got a leadership certificate, promotion, medals, can come home, get a merit, and live 5 miserable years of his life. I got a call in April 15 that Daniel, the love of God so much, preached the gospel when I was a teenager, took his life. But I was not stopping here. In the end of the year, one of my brothers that I do not live with him, also die. When I got a call about my brother's death, I told God, God, it's not even the end of the year. Today is the 30th of December. And between Daniel's death until 2017, April 2017, the oldest boy that we was raising also went to school, got involved with six young men, holding their hand, got his life messed up. Never whores again. Never bears again. He was the pianist of your church. He was a son. We are ready to adopt him. In April 17 last year, he's coming home and say, I'm leaving. I'm going to do whatever I want to do with my life. I'm going to date whatever I want to date. Today he's dating unsaved girl. And if you see him in the streets of Cape San Vicente, look like he has never heard the gospel. So ladies, we are normal ladies like you. Yes, many times I say, do I be able to go back? I never question, it is worth it? It is. Because I have a ministry for babies until ladies older than me. That I spend my life for. My husband loved the Lord. My husband can now walk in the streets if he ought to give a gospel try. Our visitation is more longer. Because he cannot go just giving a gospel tract. He's led people to the Lord. He's preaching in the streets. Sometimes I'm home at 2 o'clock, he's waiting for him for lunch, and he's out there telling people about the Lord. I was talking to my son-in-law. Before I came to the States, I say, Carlos, I'm really sick. Sometimes I feel so sick of my soul. I say, Mama, why not coming home? Why not stay with us? When I went back to Cape Verde after Daniel's death, I went back 1 month later. And I heard the same thing, why not go home? Why not coming home? I say, for what? Whatever I'm going, my pain always going to be with me. Because only the Lord can raise that pain. Never going to be torn away by the peace that the Lord gives to us. We can live anywhere. And I told Carlos, if I'm going to live with my pain, I might as well live with my pain, serving God. If I'm serving, I'm going to serve God, no need to be in the States. I'm going to serve God right here, where I am. Ladies, I'm not sharing this for you to have pity on me. I'm sharing this for you to tell you, doesn't matter what you live today, doesn't matter what you have, we have a good home in the state that we just sold. I was a daycare provider for 70 years. My husband worked in construction for 21 years. He was almost ready to retire. And we left everything. And we are happy in Cape Verde. When I see somebody coming to me and tell me about the needs, Cape Verde is a country. The only thing the young people have for entertainment is nightclubs, is drugs, is alcohol, is a lot of witchcraft. They do a witchcraft there. They say they're gonna guard the child's head. So when the baby born had to bring it to the church, present the baby to the Lord. They do a party, everything for them, It's a motivation for party. So they do a party. And the middle night, all the guests sing a witchcraft song around that child. They think that's going to guard the child's head. And many children is dying, hungry, in fear of the Lord. So as long as, like my husband say, God brought me to Cape Verde, God take me out of here. People keep asking us, you can see my hair? That's not calling. That's dying hair. He's 60 years old, okay? I'm 60 years old. So, people look at us and say, when are you going to retire? I say, what's that? Retire? The Bible don't say Jesus retire. We tell, well, if God take us away from the field because our health is not good anymore, we cannot walk anymore enough to, you know, to serve God. But retirement is not in our schedule. And my prayer here is that whatever job you live in your life today, give it to the Lord. Because my troubles is in the Lord's hands. He's given me peace in Cape Verde. I have a wonderful daughter here, three wonderful children, wonderful son-in-law. They're comforting me, they're helping me. So give all those troubles to the Lord. Put your life before I see a lot of young ladies over here and middle-old ladies. Even, like if I went to the mission field 40, 49, my husband after 50s, anyone over here can still answer God's call. So I ask you, don't let a nut hand you to seek God's will in your life. And I want to tell you, I will not change my life today for anything that I live so good in the United States for so many years. Because I'm sure I'm in the center of God's will. Thank you.